Well, hi, Mr. Brent Roberts. It's good to see you again. We're looking at a marvelous October day. I can't believe it. You know, we have sun. Everything is lovely out there. The ocean is shimmering, and we are having a real estate market that seems to recover just a little. What do you think?
Well, good to see you, Ozzy, and I agree with you. The market definitely has gotten out of the summer doldrums for sure. You know, I guess people were out active in the summer, enjoying their families and enjoying British Columbia, and definitely the marketplace has picked up in September.
And as you and I always talk about, there is no such thing as the market, right? I mean, there's a condo market, and there is a new condo market, and there's a pre-sale market, and there's house market, and then the used home. Actually, what people don't realize is that the used home sales, I mean, the market where people resell, represents 85% of all sales. And we always talk about the new condo that's in trouble, right? So there are different kind of markets.
And absolutely.
If we look at the single family home market, you and I, the last time we talked about August, when the general public was told that our sales went up 3%, but you and I dug into the single family market and we found that single family homes were actually up 13% in sales. It was condos that were down 5%, and together you add them all up, it came up with this 3% sales increase. Very much the same right now. We're looking at Vancouver. Sales are actually for single family homes are up 8%. That's not bad. I mean, you know, we're looking at an 8%. And interesting thing, condos are up 2%. So nothing. Last month we had the condo sales actually going down. But what I also find interesting that new listings in Vancouver are only up 6%. And for condos, they're only up 3%. So there's no vendor running for the hills, you know, please, please, you know, and sort of a massive amount of houses and condos hitting the market. The market is going to a more balanced position.
Well, and you're right. You know, like when you talk about like there's no one single market, you know, there's different categories even in cities. Like, you know, if you're looking in North Delta, for example, you know, in the price range between $1 million and $1,250,000, 37% of the properties are selling. That's one out of three. Very good, strong market. As a matter of fact, if you're in that price range, you could effectively be in a buyer's market, in a seller's market, right? You know,
but that's why you and I say you need the professional in your local area, and you need to study in the local area. Actually, the Real Estate Association of British Columbia puts out a marvelous little slide every month, so they're up to date numbers. Every little town in BC, and I think we mentioned last time that Powell River is up 70% in sales for the last 5 months in a row, whereas Chilliwack is down 14%. So together, they're up three. You know, it doesn't.
It's an average. Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's that the old story, the left foot in hot water and the right foot in cold water. On average, you're supposed to be lukewarm. You're very cold or very hot on either side, and that's the same with, of course, with the markets.
Well, but and it, again, look at Delta for a second, just one more second. So,
I mean,
if you're between $1,500,000 and $1,750,000 in the same city, you've got 57 units available and only one sale in the month of September. So
prices make a difference, right? But certainly, if you yourself, what price range you're in, that'll help you negotiate better as well.
Exactly. And East Vancouver is the same way. East Vancouver, there's quite a bit, you know, for example, between $1 million and $1,250,000, there's only five places for sale and two sales. That's 30%, you know, like, again, that's 40% of the market selling. So, you know, depending on the price range, when you get over the $2.5 million, it's a different thing. So it's definitely price sensitive in that respect.
Well, the other thing to look at is that in December, the month of September in Vancouver and single family home, for 4 years has been from between 555 units, 576 units, 533 units. It has been fairly stable. Yeah, you go back to 2021 and we had over 1,000 sales, but 2021 and 2020 were those mad mortgage rates of 0.5%, and it's clear that that made a difference. On the condo sector, it's very similar. We sold 954 condos. Last year it was 940, before that was 980, before that was 900. I mean, 4 years of relatively stable markets. But if you go to YouTube channel, everybody's shouting, it's the end of the world, it's kaput. You know, I mean, I have the privilege tonight, we're going to, on October 6th, we're at the Cultural Center and talking to the Real Estate Action Investment Group, and we got a huge turnout coming. I expect, 80, 90 people to show up because everybody is interested to see what is really going on. We are always talking so much negative stuff out there. Now, if you looked at Surrey, the interesting thing there is that sales are up 9% as well in single family
Right.
homes, but they're sharply down over 10% on the condo sector, right? So, and we know that, but on the other hand, in single family homes, the new listings are actually down by 2%. So it's not even as many houses coming on the market as we had last year this time. And even on the condo sector, new listings are only up 1%. So clearly, when you look at these numbers, in particular, like we always put them into our OzBuzz newsletter, I show you the last 4 years, and you realize, hey, maybe I should take a look on what the deals are. And you and I know that in the new home construction right now, yeah, there's probably 4,000 plus units that the owners have finished and they're for sale. And that's where the deals are.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as a matter of fact, one of the developers in a townhouse complex in Surrey, they held back 6 units that they were selling in the peak a couple of years ago for $1,250,000 for an end unit, $1,180,000 to $1.2 million for an inside unit. They just sold all the units for, they had 6 units left that they held back, and they just sold them for $940,000 on an average. So I mean, for an end unit, that's a $300,000 drop, so it's fairly substantial.
Well, and that's what people don't realize. They think that the developer sits there on hundreds of millions of dollars. We have developers that have 70, 80 units, say at $1 million each. That's 70, $80 million loan to which you have to
Exactly.
pay interest on. And you come in and you have that proverbial stink bit. By the way, we're going to talk tonight. We're going to have some fun on how do you actually write a stink bit and what are the things that make a stink bit acceptable? Because a developer rather has a stink bit than no bit, right? But you don't want to be
Absolutely.
an idiot, but I see stink bits, as you just pointed out. I see them being accepted because the developer says, okay, I can keep on paying interest for another 6 months, and that costs me the same than rather give the new buyer a real price break. And when these units are gone, we won't have anything new built because very few developers are going back
Exactly.
in the market starting construction. So really the deal that you're getting at a good price now may continue to be a smoking deal 3 or 4 years from now when there's nothing new coming to the market.
Well, and you're right, because I mean, if it hit that price once, it may well hit it again, if everything lines up perfectly. But like you say, the developers aren't building right now. They're holding back. There's a little bit of fear. They're not going to make those sales. And I think you're having Pete talk tonight about that as well at the REAG meeting.
Yeah,
Am I right?
well, I think that you're the man. I mean, you're the number one agent in the Fraser Valley, and so you have your fingers on the pulse. And so whether we call you from the trenches, where you're out there slugging it out, you see good deals and bad deals all the time, right? And but the thing is, when we look in our world in general, my God, I'm going to talk tonight about five major collapses we had just in the last 25 years. I mean, the end of the world. We had a Russian crisis, an Asian crisis, a financial crisis. There was always a crisis, and now we have another crisis, right? It's a tariff crisis or whatever. What really is happening that we live in a cyclical world, and that when you build a building and make a lot of money, I think, oh, I should have that too. I build a building too. And before you know it, 20 of us have built buildings and we build a lot of condos. And then 3 or 4 years later, we have all come to the market at the same time. And then we have a 4,000 unit overhang. Maybe, maybe quite often not that many, but we always have an overhang. That overhang has to clear for 18 months or so. And then we start building again, right? And
Well,
so
and you and I
that's the
spoke.
thing.
You and I spoke last time about that. When we, put an offer in on a property back in just after the 08 crash, and that's probably one of the ones you're going to talk about. And here we were. There was an opportunity. The developer has to sell because they were going to they had an offer in cash to go ahead with a new bigger building that they were buying, and the bank said, no way, we can't do that, they can't hold on to that property. So they sold their 57 unit building, which we were fortunate to be involved in, and that's a prize prize pickup. You know, there's some prize properties available in these kind of marketplaces where a developer or a homeowner, you know, it might be a homeowner that owns the best piece of real estate and it will never come to the market for a generation, but all of a sudden something happened that it has to come to the marketplace now, you know, and those are prize opportunities. And I love those kind of opportunities coming available. And they only come available, it seems, you know, when something happens, when something changes, you know.
Well, and it's normal, right? I mean, things change, personal circumstances change. You know, maybe my daughter moved to Toronto and I want to be with the kids and the grandkids. And that's my reason for selling. Who knows? But that's from a buyer's point of view, the type of thing you can only find out if you have a quality mortgage broker, a quality agent that understands the local market and understands both the seller's and the buyer's objectives and brings them together. So we're in a world that, you know, depending on who you, we have Trump problems and tariff problems. And I guess we just put a little different label on it. And we used to have a condo crisis in 2008. I remember that some of the big developers dropped all the prices by a dramatic amount, some 25% across the board. Then you go back a little bit further, we had a leaky condo crisis, you know, we forget about. Nothing sold. Everything was bad. I know David Ingram and I, we used to do the first few internet radio shows, and that was all the rage. And David and I, we kept saying, well, actually, when you have a leaky condo that has been fixed at maybe $2 million, a whole new envelope thing was done, that is actually a good thing to buy, right? Even better than the new one. So, but there's always these crises that are almost like they're manufactured on a regular basis. Of course, they're not manufactured. It's just life, you know, going on.
Well, Ozzie, can I share this with you? When you and David were talking about those, you talk about, was it a great opportunity? Well, first of all, when they were doing that $2 million building envelope, I used to say they're turning a Chevrolet into a Cadillac, you know, because it was only built like a Chevrolet to start with. And now they're fixing it overkill. And I used to advertise half-price condos. I mean, you could buy what used to be $150,000. You could now buy them at $75,000. And the special assessments often were paid for in those monies. So there was phenomenal opportunity. If you had picked up 10 of those at $75,000 each and the rents were $900 at the time, I mean, what a great opportunity. This is when you want to buy. And then, like you were talking earlier about cyclical marketplaces, the developer will build and build and build and build and build, and they'll build and build and build and build, and then they'll build and build and build until they create their own recession, that oversupply, that 4,000 unit hangover that you're talking about. And then because they're having to hold on and wait, or, you know, a lot of these things, a lot of sales go into receivership or whatever the case is, now nobody's building anything. Everybody's fearful. And those are opportunities where if you're picking up these kind of opportunities, you wait till the market turns again and all of a sudden you're in a great shape. Like, I mean, just like these people that are fearful right now about buying a condo or their deposit, you know, some people are walking away from their deposits, which if you think about it, may not be the greatest idea, because first of all, liable for the contract they wrote, number one. And number two, you know, if they're putting down 20%, the tenant's going to, if they're renting it out, the tenant will be kind enough to pay it off, you know, so in the long run, they'll be well off to hold on to that property, that investment. Talking about investments, Ozzie, you were taught, you know, I was going to ask you, because the banks are changing some, there's some new, not the banks, the FOSI, the new system that they're talking about. And some people are concerned about that. Can you share with us?
Yeah, TikTok is getting full of scary saying you can no longer qualify for a rental mortgage. The banks will not accept any tenant owning buildings and all this kind of nonsense. Actually, the Office of Financial Investment, the so-called OSFI, OSFI, we call them happily, they are concerned with bank stability and bank solvency and all of those wonderful things. And they have come up, yes, they're bringing in some new rules, but essentially they're not aimed at the individual buyer that buys a rental property, but they're aimed at sort of creating a new category that they call income-producing residential real estate, which is if 50% of the qualifying income for a mortgage comes from another property rent, then it's flagged as income-producing. And if your bank holds too many of those and is given a percentage, then you have to understand you cannot use income that you use qualify for one mortgage. You can't reuse that to qualify for another. So in other words, remember you and I, we used to preach and should have 10 doors and 15 doors. That's the one that's going to be a problem. If you want to buy a rental property, one or two, you're just fine. But if you have 10 doors and only income you have is from those 10 doors, that is more risky. And OSFI wants that bank to not have to be overweighted in those kind of mortgages.
Well, and you know, it's interesting too, because when I was, 3 years ago, when properties were selling for, $200,000 over asking price and things like that, I always wondered, at one stage of the game, the banks are going to look at that and say, well, this just doesn't appraise out. Like, how could it appraise out at this new ridiculous amount of money when you had five offers or 21 offers or something like that? And it sold for $1.6 million. Now that it's selling for 1.2, the banks are a lot tighter. They're having more difficulty. Oh, there's only one offer and it was beaten up on price and it sold for 1.2 million. Well, hang on, we had a bank, one of the credit unions, come in the other day, Ozzy. I don't think in my 35 plus year career in real estate that I've seen this. Credit union's representative came in to see what the economic rental value was of this property. Wow. They've got their own staff coming in, not an appraiser. This is above and beyond an appraiser, wanting to make sure that they're not loaning out money to. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Never seen it before.
So if, as long as people realize this, OSFI is creating a new category called income producing residential real estate, which essentially is as 50% of the qualifying income for a mortgage comes from the property's rent, then it becomes income producing. And mortgages that are classified as income producing will require banks to hold more capital and treat them more conservatively under the capital adequacy and credit risk model. So it's really a finger waving at the bank saying, hey, you have too many of those kind of high risk banks, mortgages. But the point is, you know what's going to happen? The bank will all of a sudden come up, well, if it's a high risk mortgage, we're going to charge you more money. They're in the business of risk taking. But nowhere does OSFI say, thou shalt not own a rental property and we won't give you a mortgage.
Yeah, the good thing is now, and the way you're saying it, like, I mean, so the banks are getting less mortgage business out there than they were 3 years ago. So they're scrambling all to get the same mortgage money. So it's not like they don't want to loan out the money. They still want to loan out the money, but like you said, they're going to have to charge more money. So that type of lower interest rate for a that you would get for your principal residence will probably be a bit higher for your rental
And they
property.
have to be, according to the OSFI rules, as of January 1, they have to have, the ratios of the kind of mortgages that they hold in their portfolio cannot be overweight on the guy that has that 10 doors or 5 doors or all the income comes from other rental property. Well, time goes by very quickly. We were going to do a very quick one, and we love the sound of our own voice too much, I think. Anyways, we thank you for watching, and more and more people are actually pushing the like button, and we are also becoming more subscriber friendly. So keep hitting the bottom.
Ozzy, if I can remind people of what you were talking about tonight, October 6th, that you're speaking at 6 o'clock, 6:30 at the Italian Cultural Center at our REAG meeting, Real Estate Action Group meeting. And you've got a lot to share with us. And I remember one of the receptionists telling me about how everybody had to stop because Ozzy was on the radio or Ozzy was on TV. And everybody had to stop. The kids had to be quiet because mama wanted to listen to what Ozzy had to say. You've got the opportunity tonight to hear Ozzy. And I love when you share Ozzy.
Well, I'm not sure when we're going to air this, but the point is, yeah, what we're actually trying to do is the hands-on. How do I write a stink bid offer? What is it? From what point of view? And all of the different things that are out there that, how do you handle a negotiation? How do I talk to a person that's selling his own home? Really nuts and bolts on the floor, deal generation. And that's what the night is all about. In the meantime, thank you very much again for listening to us and watching us, and click those like buttons and
Don't forget to
support.
also follow Ozbuzz.
Just click the like and the subscribe. Okay, I find
Thanks,
good
Lazo.
enough. Take care. Good.